Acts in verse 35, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. You know, he was busy. He was probably even tired. But yet he looked out and he saw all those people and he was moved with compassion. And he goes on with verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, somebody might brag and say, man, you got a lot of missionaries coming out of your church. The Lord said, pray that he send forth more laborers. There's a lack of laborers. There's days Roll and I are out there, we preach, and there's people out there standing, listening, and we can't get to them all. By the time we're done with the few that we deal with, we get to talk to, some of these people, they had to get back to work. Or they had to make it somewhere else because they already had a set appointment and they got tired of waiting and they already made themselves late for waiting and they take off. We never got to them. There's other days we're done and we don't even talk to anybody. But there's too many times we're out there preaching. There's too many times that there's a crowd out there and we can't get to them all. And Lord, what can we do? Lord, we can't make it to all of them. There's too many. The harvest truly is plenty, but the labors are few. The labors are few. What's the remedy? Pray. You know, it's like Arlene was saying, we need your prayers. There's days we really get discouraged. Some of them days when we're done preaching, there ain't nobody. They all disappeared as soon as we were done. Well, okay, let's go home. And it ain't one of those days that we walk home really encouraged. And there's other days when everybody seems to be against us. Well, we're halfway encouraged because we know something's getting across, or else they wouldn't be like one day they're throwing eggs at Roland. They wouldn't be doing that kind of stupid stuff if something wasn't getting to them from what he was saying or what we were saying. They wouldn't be calling us crazy if what we were saying wasn't making an effect on them. You know, that's, to me, it's always encouraging when I get some sort of response like that, because I know they did worse to Jesus. And I figure, man, maybe the Lord's starting to count me worthy to suffer for his name, you know? And some of those times, though, physically, kind of worn out, maybe a little bit sick, hurting the throat and all. And we get discouraged. And it's the prayers of the saints that keep us going. Just as Paul said, and pray for me. And that utterance, that he might be able to utter the scriptures, the word of God, and the gospel. Brethren, we ask you pray for us. And not only for us, but that the Lord send forth more laborers. There's really a lack. There really is. And what is their hope if they never hear? You know, that was another thing. In my subconscious, you know, well, they'll hear somewhere, somehow. Well, who's that somewhere and somehow? Get the mirror out. That's that somewhere and somehow. I've been, the Lord saved me about 15 or 16 years ago. And I tried witnessing to my dad. My older brother, he also witnessed to my dad. And I came to the conclusion that words aren't going to make any impact on my dad. I've told him about everything I can tell him. If I keep telling him, it's just going to irritate him. So from here out, I'm going to let my works do the talking. And been praying for him, and I've been praying, Lord, send somebody that he'll listen to witness to him. And not too long ago, my dad gave me some book about defending the Catholic Church. My parents are Catholic still. And he gave it to me to read, so I took it home and started reading it. And this guy's defending a bunch of stuff that I don't know where he gets all of his information from. So I haven't finished the book, still trying to finish it. But I went back, or came back up here again, and my dad asked me one day, how come you never told me anything about that book? Well, this seems to be like that somewhere and somehow and someone to witness to my dad. And just the other day, the Lord really put in my heart to go over and see my dad again. And just to go witness to him. Not to say hello, just go witness to him, give him the gospel. I went over to talk to him for quite a while. Told me things I never knew about him, that he'd been hearing the gospel ever since he was a kid, but he chose to stay faithful to his religion. And I really got to thinking, though, will he listen to anybody else? He's been hearing it for a long time, and he's been rejecting it for a long time. He may not listen to anybody else. I may be that only one person that he'll listen to, that he'll sit down. This time was strange to me, because this time I actually saw him trying to comprehend what I was telling him. I actually saw him trying to figure out, okay, well, you're telling me about Abraham, and faith without works is dead, is what he's always telling me. And you're explaining to me over here in Romans where it says that Abraham was justified by faith and not by works. And he was trying to comprehend that our works are what justify us before man and not before God. Our faith is what justifies us before God. And it was something that really had an effect on me. Can't leave for someone else what the Lord's given us to do. If He's sent you to witness somebody, you need to do it. If He sent you to preach to somebody, you need to do it. You know, if you're praying for somebody to get saved, that the Lord send somebody to witness to them that they might get saved, don't keep waiting if He starts telling you to go. I also been praying for my grandmother. And this trip, I had a chance to go down to the border and visit her, and the Lord opened the door for me to witness to her again also. And I see that with some of these people I'm praying that the Lord send somebody to witness to, He is sending somebody. But He's sending me, not someone else. Be careful that you don't push off. Say, Lord, send somebody to witness to him, and then when He tells you to go, you say, no, not me. Be careful. Because if they don't hear, what's their hope? They really don't have another hope. You know, you can subconsciously say, somebody will tell them, you know. If they're elect, somebody will get to them. Well, maybe you were the elected one to get to them.
Amen.
Don't push it off. And keep praying. Praying that the Lord, yes, sends to the harvest. Because, yeah, when I'm down there in Mexico, I can't come back up here every 10 minutes or every 8 days to visit my dad and witness to him again. Maybe between now and the next time I come up, someone else will go to him and talk to him and give him the gospel. And he'll see just a little bit more. Or maybe He sent me so that when the next person comes along, he might just call on the Lord and get saved. You never know. Brethren, pray. Pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Brethren, we have a God that answers prayer. We have a God that hears prayer and answers. And you know, He wants to use us. And He tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Brethren, present yourself to the Lord. I came up this time and I've been wanting the Lord really to deal with me. Really to work with me, like, and work in me and work on me like He used to do when I was younger. And I got to thinking through some of the stuff that's been shared that He can't do it like He did back then because too many things have changed in my life. He's going to do it a different way. And He has been. He's been dealing with me in a different way. And He hasn't left me. He hasn't gone off far away like my flesh tries to tell me sometimes. He's still there. And He still wants me to keep presenting myself a living sacrifice. Not dead, living. Now. Now is the accepted time. We have no hope or no assurity, no assurance of tomorrow. We don't know what can happen tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation for those that are lost. And today is the day that God will accept your works here on this earth. What you can do for Him, you need to do it today. Brethren, how will they hear without a preacher? Say you're a woman, you can't preach like that? Oh, fine. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He'll send forth more labors into the harvest. You can pray. Maybe you can't get out there and preach, but you can pray. There's a part for everybody. Like Michael said, each of us as a part of the body have a different function. We don't all have the same function. We all can't preach the same. All of us have a function. That's why it says, present yourselves. Why? So that you can be used. I have a shop and I don't keep it for nothing. I know where everything is generally. And there's days I can't find a tool and here I am looking everywhere. Why? It doesn't present itself. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable, brethren. It isn't. Everybody in the world will tell you, you're crazy for going to Mexico. You're going to ruin your own self, your own family, your kids. It's not unreasonable. It'd be unreasonable to do the contrary. When God tells you to go, and then you stay. When God tells you to pray and you say, no, I don't want to, because He might send me. Brethren, it's your reasonable service. Present yourselves.